and wanting to talk to you about miracles, I wanted to think about how we learn and how we absorb ideas. So I turned to Howard Zinn, and he wrote, I'll get the book title,
A People's History of the United States.
To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. Ever since last week, when I led us in imagining who we might have been in the Easter story, I have been thinking about regular people amidst miracles, specifically about miracles and how a regular person might react to being the benefactor of such a miracle-filled lifetime. Would you recognize that life as you know it is different now because a miracle happened? Last week was Easter, when we remember that a miracle happened during the human chronology of humankind. Or we remember that that is one way to think about it. Jesus' life, as well as his resurrection from bodily death, are seen as miracles. His message was about a new kingdom that humans cannot see, but you get there after this life. And it was completely different from anything Judaism had taught. Even it was different for the Roman occupiers. Afterlife, specifically a reconciliatory kingdom where God rules, meant that it was a complete departure from the cultural and religious Judaism of that group. According to these new beliefs, the Son of God had always been with us in spirit, came to us for around 33 years, and will continue here on earth and in the afterlife, plus everywhere, because God is everywhere. We can join him in heaven. Wow, that's a lot to take in. Can you imagine? You didn't even have a dishwasher or a washing machine. Like, you worked hard just to live, and you hear this message. Imagine that you were just a regular person back then, like now. Maybe you were Jewish because it was the culture, but maybe you were only observant around the high holy days, willing to miss temple if mom and dad didn't notice. Were you a teacher, a banker, a healer, some kind of community leader or politician? Imagine being in this ordinary life, living in a place occupied by soldiers from an invading army, when all of a sudden there's a new group that swears the guy from Nazareth is the Redeemer, the one whose coming has been foretold through generations of your family. Now, I'm taking some liberties here with what a regular person might have been like back then, because I know a lot of regular people now. Maybe you didn't pay attention to the events that were unfolding while he was here, when you could have met him, but now he's gone, and everybody's talking about following him, following his lessons. But your Jewish leaders disavow the stories of miracles. What are you, a regular person, supposed to do? Beliefs and religions, values and the ideals that you put your faith into, these are all personal choices And yes, I said choices. They can wax and wane in their depth, in your commitment over time. They can even completely change. Now we are more likely to adopt a new lifestyle based on information we received about better living than we are likely to take a look at the religion whose rules we built our life around. If we feel that a change should be made in our life to consider some new thing, some miracle, it is up to us. So there's this whole Jesus miracle debate. What are regular people going to do? About 2,000 years ago, well, 1,500 years after that, when Luther put his 95 ideas on the door, it was the same problem. Do we go with the new guy, or do we stick with tradition? Luther was not a miraculous presence, but for followers to follow Luther rather than Catholicism, it meant that the miracle of transubstantiation, changing bread and wine to body and blood, would not be a part of their life anymore. How important was this? Lutherans have communion, but the priest does not miraculously change the sacrament. Is God there? What is a regular person to do when making the important decision on where miracles fit into your life? I think about the times in my own life. I knew you were going to talk about Red Sox 2004. I just knew it. I think about the times in my life when drastic changes happened pretty quickly. And I think back over it to see if it was the presence of or notice of a miracle that made that change happen. There was realizing in college that I did not need to eat meat. And I went on like that to become a vegetarian for several years. I won't tell you about the night I fell into a steak sub, but really, it was a swift, overall, multi-layer change of habits. I don't know if a miracle was at play there, as much as an awakening of conscience while being a young person, and that might be a miracle in itself. There was a feeling I had when I was living on Wiley Street in Bangor that I was actually called to serve. It came from somewhere outside of myself. That's another sermon. There was the realization that I had a whole yard and that I should probably learn how to grow things. I could keep thinking about times when big changes came, parenthood, COVID, every move to a new place, every meeting of a new congregation. So I pull the lens back to see all of culture going through big changes rather than staying so personally focused. Prior to Jesus, what miracles were celebrated? Specifically, I ponder huge, sweeping events that would have changed human life. The emergence of a new religion, surely. How about fire? That was probably a big deal. Perhaps the greatest miracle before the human birth of Jesus, this is completely out of my own brain, was our mastery of using wheels. What was it like for regular people who found out about wheels? Miraculous gift of discovery or typical evolution? What did the people then think? Or perhaps the greatest miracle since Jesus, had to stop and think about this. You can shout out if you have ideas. Greatest miracle since Jesus? I'm going to offer for consideration penicillin.
Yes.
So the sermon could be called Wheels, Jesus, and Penicillin. The wheel. Can you imagine our early forebears watching a boulder roll down a hill, developing this idea that if you got a bunch of them and put stuff on it, you could move stuff, and then making a wheel, and then being able to replicate it as needed to fit your needs? That's different That's not like hunting. Hunting isn't a miracle every time you're successful. It's because you noticed where the herds tend to go. Wheels' use made humans actually able to manipulate movement itself by using round things. It seems like the first users of wheels would have been aware that they were going through a profound life change. Imagine you're a regular person back then, whatever time it was. You're traveling through the territory of a group that has started using wheels, and you see them, and you think, what the heck? What kind of magic is this? Would you all have sat down and discussed the use of this new thing? Would they have been eager to share? Would you have been eager to learn? Would you have fought the wheel wars over who had the right to use the technology? Or maybe you would have watched quietly until you understood, and then went quietly back to your people and just became a new group of people who use wheels. Any of these ways would fit into pathways of human nature and the spread of knowledge. I suggested to a young person, Eliza, that the wheel was the single greatest miracle in prehistory. And she weighed my suggestion carefully and said, no. Because that's how she talks. Art, she said, is the greatest miracle. We call it prehistory, but really, they did tell us what was important. And they did so with beauty and color and form and content. They told us their stories of hunting and family and beauty. I still think the wheel is pretty great, but opening up the content for input left me vulnerable to hearing information that could change my mind. And it did. I think the wheel was a miraculous leap for humanity, grounded in science and discovery. So after some thought, I agree that in prehistoric days, for a regular person, art comes from the realm of miracle stuff, probably more than the wheel does. Cave art was beauty and information and education, a miracle of human nature. Community and communication are both vital for survival and vital for the spread of miraculous change. Maybe that's how some people found out about the wheel, looking at the art. Cave art told us everything that they were doing. Now, miracles more recently, they still happen too. It took medical studies of penicillin with well-documented, well-communicated stories of its success in healing multiple infections for its miraculous nature to change people's beliefs over to its healing properties. Imagine being a regular person, and I know that I am talking to people who were alive during this time. I'm aware. I'm not trying to paint some magical foreign picture. It was invented in 28, used widely through World War II, and its manufacture was able to be sustained and replicated and enough of it to use widely by the end of World War II. So imagine being a regular person who was used to what? What did we do before then? We had aspirin. Did we still use leeches? A poultice, right? And now you're being told to drink this stuff or take this pill. Penicillin use and subsequent recovery must have caused quite a furor, I would imagine. We keep experiencing growth and whole new fields of study regarding humanity. It really is a miracle. Health insurance paperwork, however, is the anti-miracle. Penicillin Okay, now this comes from this idea. When you all see this title on a sermon later this summer, you'll know that I got it straight to do. Did you know that in the same time of human history, there existed pirates and samurai and, I always forget the third one, along those lines? Penicillin is still a new miracle in human development. It's been widely used for less than 80 years. The stories of Jesus and the call to join his believers was still pretty new 80 years into the Common Era. Y'all know Paul, the one who said women should be silent in church? I actually like him. Paul ran around starting Christian communities, and then he would mediate their board meetings that went sideways. That's what letters to the Corinthians and letters to the Thessalonians are. That's the board meeting and saying, I don't know what we're supposed to do here. Let's write to Paul. So he only died 60 or 65 years into the Common Era. So just like we are right now, getting used to the idea of penicillin use, early Christians were still getting used to the idea that there had been that miracle. As long as we have been experiencing the life-changing effects of the miraculous discovery of penicillin and how we think about it and believe in its effects, this is how long regular people had been trying to get a new world started with Jesus at the middle. So here we are. Do you believe that penicillin saves the body applied correctly from the miracle of moldy bread? If so, this belief may lead you to use other vaccines, ointments, and cures that are still relatively new, but which result in positive effects in communities like Corinth or Thessaloniki. After Paul had done his orientation classes and got them started on a new life in a new community, that's one of the miracles of human nature. I think people with knowledge of the wheel probably shared it because we are meant to be in community. For the folks Paul trained, they reached out to others with promises they believed in and wanted to share their hope and promise. When people who followed this new way of living, where there's an afterlife, which makes all of this suffering more manageable, different from the Jewish faith, it was painful. Were they even still Jewish? What would family reunions be like when some see Jesus as a miracle and others don't? Imagine that family dinner. What is it like when some family members are anti-vaxxers and others are physicians? I guess in the case of the Kennedy family, they might be both. This, the chaotic family times that have surely been happening since before the wheel, based on differences in belief systems, the difference of accepting a miracle or not. This is what has been on my mind since I started thinking about life after a miracle. We all get to experience miracles every day, and we also get the opportunities to change or be changed. In all of human culture, elements in our lives change constantly, whether we recognize it immediately or not. But we do not experience an entire change of life without our own input. The change may happen by catastrophe, maybe a happy accident, might be supernatural, might be science. Whatever we call a miracle and however we react, that's our choice. Nobody can make us do what we don't want to, really. And nobody can make us believe something that we don't want to. Are miracles real? What is the wheel? Or art, or Jesus, or penicillin, if not miracles? What is the infinitesimal chance that any of us were born and that we made it? Or that you got to be here today to hear all of this profound, music and thought, how about the unbelievable odds of living on this planet, in this country, during the same time that the Pope is from Chicago? Miracles, hallelujah. Miracles are things that happen against all odds, or that come from nowhere. They weren't even imagined before they were suddenly there. Each birth is a miracle, like each dandelion that grows between the sidewalk crack. When a miraculous thing happens, we may or may not know it, and we may or may not choose to accept its miraculous nature. What do we regular people, do after a miracle? Mostly, we hold community. We build beloved community. We make the miracle accessible to others. We want to share our experience. Human nature, from prehistory to now, tells us that the most frequent response to a miracle is to feel gratitude. Grateful to be alive, to even be able to ponder life or this new thing, whatever the miracle is. That gratitude for life itself compels us to build beloved community, to share the miracles, big and small, that we encounter together.